Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. We talk all things golf with you. As always, we're brought to you by the Glenview Park Golf Club. We have our second major of the year in the books, Mike, and it is none other than Scottie Scheffler emerging victorious. I think we pretty much hit it on the head last week when we were talking about him. We kind of could see the sharks, saw the blood in the water, and Scottie, I mean, an immaculate finish for him Saturday. Sunday was, he just had to do just enough. He was tied at one point with John Rahm at 9-under, but then once things got close, he put his foot on the gas, separated while the rest of the field seemingly crumbled, and he wins a major by 5 strokes.
He does, and good morning, and happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
You as well.
And to everybody else.
One of the best golfing weekends of the year.
Let me tell you, the golf courses were packed that I pass coming by. So, yeah, we're in for a great weekend. But, yeah, PGA Championship did not disappoint. I think if you went back and played the tape of our show last week, I think we actually hit it on the head, even down to the final number, that we wouldn't surprise that he'd have a 3-shot lead and then ultimately win by 5. And yeah. I think that's exactly what happened.
The thing is, it was a 5-stroke victory for Scottie, but that doesn't mean that it was not entertaining.
Oh, I know.
5 strokes for Scottie, it feels like 10 for any other golfer.
No doubt.
But the way that he just kind of like it narrowed and then he expanded his lead, and there was still drama despite the fact that he did win in dominant fashion when you look at the final leaderboard.
No, yeah, there were those moments, and I think this was a clear indication of why Scottie is going to be considered one of the greats, because he was able to have a game that wasn't his A game. In fact, I wouldn't even say it was anywhere in an A minus. It might be a B plus, but he still won. And for him to be able to overcome what he was fighting, and you could even see some of the lessons that he was having Saturday night on the range, trying to get that left hip to clear. So he's still tinkering going into this final round, and yet he forces the likes of Bryson and John Rahm and any of the others who eventually got close, but they knew they had to make something happen. And he, just like some of the greatest tennis players, forced the rest to make the mistakes. He didn't make the mistakes. Mm-hmm. They did. And he forced their hand, because that's what Scottie does and does so well.
And that's exactly how he won his last major before that as well. The Masters from a couple years ago. It's the same sort of game plan. He let everyone else fold when they came around Amen Corner.
Right.
And Scottie just held serve. It wasn't anything flashy.
Nope.
It wasn't a birdie fest down there. Not that that's something easy to do. He just par, and everyone else went bogey, and that's how he really separated himself from the pack. He does it again this time. The Saturday was fantastic for him. He goes 65, and then Sunday it was just, all right, if I can get to par, I know I'm going to win this thing and win it comfortably.
Yeah, it was like go out and have a continental breakfast in the morning and go on out and just play just a regular round of golf and walk away with $3.6 million in your pocket. But I think what this did for Scottie more than anything is it gave him even more confidence on how to win a major that's maybe not at the same golf course, i.e. the Masters. Mm-hmm. And I also think it shows him that he's ready to go out and complete a career Grand Slam, because he now knows how to win majors in ways when he doesn't have his best game. Because whenever we watch Tiger was dominating. It was done in such exciting theater and dramatic theater. Scottie just sort of you know, plugs along and hits consistent. I mean, he consistently consistent you to a boredom like no other, but it's so cool to watch.
Right. It is dominant. It really is the way that he goes about it. And I will say this, too. When we were here a week ago talking about the leaderboard that was up there, it was nothing flashy. It was nothing impressive. Scotty and maybe a little bit of Bryson that were the big names. And then all of a sudden, the leaderboard got kind of good at a certain moment on Sunday. You had Scotty, you had Bryson, you had John Rahm in there, Matt Fitzpatrick, a one-time U.S. Open champion. Keegan Bradley was in the mix as well. Like, there were some big names that were hovering around the top there. And then all of a sudden, Scotty just separates from the rest of the pack, and you saw some other guys make their way up the leaderboard. The implosion that John Rahm had, too, on Sunday, especially after he had this thing. He was tied for the lead once upon a time on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was one of the, I don't even want to say collapses, because he was never winning this thing, it felt like. It always felt like Scotty had this thing in the bag. But to go from having a runner-up to five over through the final three holes and finishing eighth instead of second, it's a significant amount of money. Not that he's hurting for money with his live contract, but it's a significant dive in terms of earnings.
Yeah, I mean, their round four scores were nothing to really brag about. If you start looking really at a lot of the folks in the top 10, they're all around 73, 72, 71. Gerard had a 70.
Although, shout out Harris English, who's 65, catapulted it. Between him putting up a 65 and the way that the field really didn't play 14 through 18 very well.
Not well at all.
But he did. He was fantastic on Sunday. He made himself $1.2 million on Sunday, going up the 34 spots that he did.
Oh, and let me also tell you, he improved his opportunity to make the Ryder Cup team in dramatic fashion. So now he becomes somebody that we might be considering and will be considering. But to me, this championship has done a few things. It's changed the outlook on the Ryder Cup team. But believe it or not, we're already halfway through the majors, and now all eyes go to Oakmont. Mm-hmm. And with Scotty winning, now Scotty becomes the next guy who could still conceivably win a career Grand Slam if he closes out the next two Opens.
Yeah.
So a lot happened this past weekend, and some of it was very predictable, but it also puts the game in a very unique place as we start to go into the final two majors. And as I watched this whole leaderboard, you know, expand and contract, it seemed to expand with the live guys.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they all faltered on the last day, including Bryson. And I'm wondering if, in fact, this format is really dulling their ability to perform for four rounds, and namely a guy like Bryson DeChambeau, who was able to do it at the Open. But since then, he seems like on the fourth day, he's having closing issues.
But even that, did Bryson win or did Rory lose that U.S. Open at Pinehurst?
That's true, and that's very true. And I think what we saw with Bryson more than ever is how his one-shot pattern, high ball hitter, I try to force this into every single golf course in every way I play. His inability to hit really knockdown shots is being very much, I think, exposed and why he doesn't win more major championships. He's got to learn to flight the ball better like the rest of these guys. And I know there was a lot of discussion during the week that maybe Bryson should get away from all that one length stuff. Maybe the 8, 9 and wedge, it should be the length of a 8 iron or a wedge, and then go and, you know, step it down. But I think his short game, his where he loses it, strokes gained, is when he's going into the greens. He is just not controlling the flight in like Scotty can. And Scotty is an absolute magician. He very rarely goes long. But how many times do you see Bryson DeChambeau go deep, deep right, deep left?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I wonder between the physical, the mental, 4 days, you know, plus all the practice versus 3, if it does in fact take its toll. I didn't think it would, But now that these guys get to ride around in carts and they get to play in shorts, you know, their life has become a lot easier and softer in that regard. So when they have to flip the switch and play in as a major championship, I think they're finding it tougher as the live product continues to wear on. Well, that's just my advice.
And the other part of it, too, is we talked about this a little bit leading into the PGA Championship. The travel schedule was not kind to those guys either.
No.
You know, like, everyone thought LIV meant you're dialing it back, you're playing less golf. And to a degree, that's true. But you're also going international a lot more than any of these PGA Tour guys. Like, when it all boils down to it, the LIV guys probably are traveling more miles during the course of their season than the PGA guys are.
Oh, I would think so.
Going up to the Philly Cricket Club for the Truist a couple weeks ago was probably one of the longer trips any of these guys are going to have to make.
Yeah, and then they had to, what, return to Charlotte from Philly to Charlotte? I mean, you can drive there in very short order. But when you're going from Mexico City over to Singapore, then to Korea, back to the United States, I mean, it's just, it's wonky. Now, you'll say that, oh, well, they only play 13 events a year, but they have to play in all 13 events a year. They're under contract. Mm-hmm. But then they're going to want to play in the majors, so there's four more. And then they're going to need to get these points, whether they're trying to play for their Ryder Cup team, their American team, the European team. They're out looking at other events to gain world ranking points. So when it's all said and done, I don't know if they're playing necessarily less golf as much as they thought they might. I think that they thought they could play the 13 events, make the majors whenever they qualify or otherwise, but they'd still be making world ranking points that would then would allow them not to have to play anywhere else but there. But I think it's going to be interesting where the PIF and LIV product goes now that PIF is getting involved with the women's tour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of people that just think this LIV product should go away. And you wonder, do these guys start getting so caught up on the team aspect of this that they don't necessarily pay as close attention to the individual piece of this because the team aspect is as lucrative for them as the individual. So again, when you're making that transition back to a major championship and being able to just flip it on at will, I'm not seeing it happen. And in fact, I'd go so far as to say it's getting worse because you're not seeing anything from Brooks anymore, Phil anymore. You know, Joaquin is flirting, but Bryson, you know, I guess to your point, Rory gave it away last year, but he did close a deal. And I thought John Rahm was going to change things. I thought as he started to shoot up, I thought, man, Tyler's going to be right. Tyler, I think this is when John Rahm might actually light the fuse where he starts an amazing run. But then he wilted. Mm-hmm. And that really showed me that I think these LIV guys are doing themselves a disservice when they don't even know they're doing it to themselves.
That's interesting. The real fascinating case study is the guy that you brought up first there, Brooks. Because he has completely fallen off.
Right.
Completely fallen off since winning the PGA a couple years ago. And really has put together some non-competitive runs. And he looked like he had finally fixed his career after dealing with injuries and the rigors of the PGA Tour. And it looked like he had become back to the guy that he was when he had first burst onto the scene. But now it's like, to say that he's been lived, like, it feels like he's almost fallen into the trap that people wanted to stereotype a lot of these LIV guys of what they will become once they go over, take the money, and start playing less. And it almost feels like, to a degree, he's starting to become closer to Dustin Johnson than he is to Bryson and John Rahm and guys like that.
And it's funny, you bring up Dustin Johnson, and I honestly thought this golf course and this situation was going to be a perfect situation for that guy. He wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And to see Brooks now, and I'm just wondering if these guys, you know, because they're coming up on their contract year, if you will, for some of these guys. And I think Brooks is one of them. You just wonder, are they just mailing it in till they can just move back over to the tour and hope that all goes well in that regard? Or, you know, I just – a guy like Brooks, I just feel like he's almost in a way going through the motions just to finish out what he started, because I get the feeling he's just not into it.
Yeah.
I really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he was grateful when it was there, when he needed it most. But now that he was able to show the world, I can practice and I can get my game up to that level when I know I need to. But I don't know that he's motivated right now because he feels that he needs to. But if once he leaves this tour and all he can do is play the PGA Tour, if they allow him, then maybe his, you know, his good habits and practice habits will come back. Because I just think that these guys with these long breaks take breaks. And golf is a funny, funny game. You never really own it. You rent it from time to time, mm-hmm. but then that swing kind of goes away, and it's always a constant fight. And if you're not staying on top of your game, especially at the level these guys play, then you're going to have mediocre to below average results for very top level tier elite type of players. And Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson are guys that you don't expect to miss cuts and to play poorly as they are. They're generally big game hunters, and they're not showing it anymore.
I wonder, too, for Brooks, if it becomes a, like, I feel like we've seen this at times throughout his career, but he needs something new
right.
in life. And if a pivot back to the PGA Tour is that newness that lights or reignites a fire underneath him.
I do, because I think he's been pretty honest with some people who have come out and shared that honesty. And I don't know that they were supposed to do that. So I know that we're getting the true feeling of how Brooks feels about this thing. And he wants to come back.
Yeah.
I know he does. And he's got the game to do it. And honestly, I don't know if he's just, you know, load management and just waiting. You know, I don't know if he doesn't want to get too deep into this now. But I would think that during the major championship season, this is the time that he needs to make hay. If he's going to pick up any world ranking points, have any expectation of playing any form of Ryder Cup, whether a wild card or otherwise, he's got to perform admirably in these next two.
Yep. All right. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. Andy North is going to join us coming up at 9:35 to recap what he saw from the PGA Championship. He was on the coverage for ESPN, so he had an up-close front row seat for all of that. We'll get his thoughts on Scottie Scheffler, the rest of the leaderboard, all of that and more. This segment's been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan talking all things golf and the PGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler captures his third major of his career. And now all the question goes to, well, we saw Rory just do it at the Masters. Can Scottie Scheffler now capture the career Grand Slam? Is he next in line for guys that are going to have that claim? And some people thought, okay, Jordan Spieth, was he next in line? He didn't even make the cut at the PGA Championship this week. But Scottie's got a Masters, he's got a PGA, he's halfway home, and still has the runway of an Open Championship and the U.S. Open here in 2025. Now, if he does it, I don't think it would be this year. That's asking a lot for a guy to capture three majors in a single season. But do you ultimately think when his chapter is written in golf history that he will have that claim that he has won the career slam?
Oh, most definitely. I there are some sure things in life. This may not be a sure thing, but it's darn close. Just because he's only 28 years old. He turns 29 on June 21st. He has got a solid decade to maybe a decade and a half of good golf if he keeps himself healthy. But if nothing else, he's got a solid 10 years. That's 40 attempts to try to get the two. Well, actually 20 to get the other two. Mm-hmm. But I just think he can get it done. And I would agree, doing it this year would be awfully a tall order.
It'd be one of the best seasons the sport's ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it would rival Tiger and what he did in 2000. But at the same time, I just think Scotty's got it. I mean, he's got the shots. He knows how to do it. And the other part about this, he is mentally unbelievably tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing phases the guy. He doesn't get dramatically up. He doesn't get dramatically down. And I think that's why he's going to win. He has a mentality that reminds me a lot of Jack Nicklaus. I see a lot more of Jack in him than I ever see Tiger. And I see the way he goes about his process. He reminds me very much of Jack in that same regard. And to me, he's our modern day version of Jack Nicklaus. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a few years, we're actually asking the question, will Scotty break Tiger's record? And can he get to Jack's? Mm-hmm. I honestly think he is going to be a guy that in a few years, we're going to look up and he's at double digits. Just because I think he's that good a player. Now, all of this with a preface that he stays injury-free, he stays healthy, and God forbid nothing tragic ever happens. So if he, you know, has a typical formidable professional life, I see nothing that can get in the way. I mean, even when he putts bad, he's still better than most. Mm-hmm. So to me, as long as he putts average and plays above average, he's going to beat everybody.
Yeah. I think part, you bring up the mentality that he has. I think part of what makes him great is why other people think he's boring.
Exactly.
It's because he is unmoved by anything. Nothing is going to daunt him. And it doesn't matter what the lead is, where he is on the leaderboard. None of it matters. The moment's never too big for him. And it's like he slows life down in his own mind, and it's what allows him to reach the level of greatness that he gets to.
And you know what? What you just said, he slows it down, is so true. Because when the Bunsen burner gets turned up and the heat is on and the heart starts to go, we all tend to rush. We all tend to start thinking and processing faster than, and we can't even control it. I mean, it's just what happens to our bodies. It's our human nature, except for him. I mean, he's got like ice water going through his veins. And that's the part that I really took a hard notice of him during the PGA Championship. And I found it interesting in comparison to Bryson. Bryson, man of the people, doing the high fives, running from tee to green. And I'm like, dude, you haven't won anything yet.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you won already and you haven't. Scotty would not touch a hand. Scotty has a way about him. He, you know, all their fans, kids, it doesn't matter. All have their hands out. He won't talk. He won't touch. He is so driven and so focused. It reminds me of the time when Jack Nicklaus was playing in a tournament. He was on the first hole and there was a train track that went by. And as he was about to let it go, the train came by and blew its horn, let it loud and proud. And Jack just swiped it and went right down the pipe. And as they were walking down the fairway, one of the people in the group said, God, I can't believe that train horn didn't even bother you. He said, what train horn? That's how Scotty thinks. He doesn't let anything, you know, penetrate those 6 inches. When he gets locked in, he gets fully committed. He commits. There's no second guessing. I just think we can all take a great lesson on how we should adopt a lot of the way Scotty goes about his business in our own game. And here's the trick to it all. He does it rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you see a lot of these guys sleep over it, think over it. We could time them with a calendar.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Scotty embodies how we all should play golf.
Yeah, I just, the level of locked in that he gets to for every single tournament. I mean, last year he was on a ridiculous run through the entire PGA Tour calendar, plus the Olympics, plus the President's Cup, all of it. And then you've got, I mean, I think the PGA Championship is almost the perfect encapsulation of it all, too, is last year's, The guy got arrested.
He did.
And still put together. I mean, most players, if they got arrested mid-tournament, either withdraw from the tournament, miss the cut, or even if they do play well enough, they have nothing left in the tank for Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, how many players can get arrested and finish top 40 in an event?
Well,
I think he might be the only guy capable of doing that.
Yeah, the only other one I might say would have been Tiger. But aside from that, you're right. And I think given the egos, the sensitiveness of some of these players, I think they would have gone straight from jail and went to their planes and went home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they would have even attempted it. I think they would have been embarrassed. I think they would have not wanted to face the people. I think they would know themselves so well to know that I'm going to be distracted throughout this thing. I'm not going to be any good. Why even do this to myself? But see, that's the toughness of Scotty. That's what reminds me of only a Jack Nicklaus type mentality. And I think it's his 6 inches between the ears are what is going to show us over the next umpteen years of why he is such a special player.
Yeah, I think everything about his game right now, it may not be must watch to the average sports fan who maybe checks in on the majors and that's about it for golf, but there's so many shots that this guy has in his bag that it's just like, it's jaw-dropping stuff, and you're just like, he can't keep doing this for 18 holes, and he finds a way.
Well, and to your point about having all the shots, it's one thing to have all the shots, but then it's another thing to know when to play the appropriate shot, to take your medicine when you're supposed to, when you can thread it through the little eye of the needle. And his ability to manage himself and manage his game on said golf course is extraordinary. And I think he's got something that the rest of the players out there just don't have. And I think that's what we're going to enjoy watching. Now, will it be as sexy as the way Tiger did it? Nope. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, it's kind of like this.
Won't be as entertaining either.
It won't be. And it was like the time when I watched Tom Kite rip about 25 irons at the Bob Hope. And I was the only one there with him on the range. And it was late at night. And I asked him, doesn't that get boring? And he looked at me and he goes, I love boring. And that's what Scotty likes.
Yeah.
He likes boring. And it may be boring, but it's going to be exciting. And the thing I can't get over is how well he can continue to keep his game at such a high level week after week after week. And even this week, he's tied for 29th, and he's just sort of ho-humming it right now. I just think he has an ability to turn it on whenever he wishes. And it's just mind-boggling how long he can play at such a high level and not have that roller coaster effect or the yo-yo effect. Mm-hmm. And it's just impressive.
Yep. All right. When we come back, we will talk with Andy North, ESPN and two-time U.S. Open champion, will join us to recap everything that he saw from the PGA Championship. He was on the coverage for ESPN. That's coming up next. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. To where you should play. This is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
In Chicago. As always, you can watch us on YouTube and Twitch as well, or take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. The segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. As Scottie Scheffler captures his third major of his young career, he has a couple of Masters, and this being his first PGA's halfway through to the career Grand Slam. And let's head on out now to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Two-time U.S. Open champion Andy North joins us. And Scotty would like to have one of those U.S. Opens on his trophy case coming up soon. Andy, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And terrific job. Enjoyed watching you last week on the PGA coverage.
Ditto.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. And there's a good chance Scotty might get that one at Oakmont in a few weeks. The course sets up really great for him. But, yeah, it was a great PGA. A lot of crazy stuff that happened. Tough golf course, particularly the finishing hole. So it was a fun week. And, yeah, it's always nice when you get a winner on Sunday night and it's over because it's a long week, too.
Oh, I bet it was. And, you know, a lot was made of the decision that Kerry Haig made early in the week on Thursday morning to play that thing, play the golf ball down. And we learned a new term, the Carolina Mudballs, and they're not a single-A baseball team.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what are your thoughts on that decision? And, you know, you're a multi-major winner and played in tons of them, and you probably never played the ball down, did you?
I'm a firm believer that you want to play it down. I think that's the fairest thing. But I think, you know, there's a way to do it in a way that if it is collecting a lot of mud, and we saw a lot of mud the first 2 days on the golf ball. And, you know, the golf ball's been aerodynamically designed to move through the air in a certain way. And if you put a big clump on the side of it, it doesn't do that, and it goes all over the place. I think I don't like the lift clean and, you know, one club link kind of deal. I don't like that at all. I think you could do a lift clean and replace where you mark it like you're on the green, you clean it and put it right back down. If it's in a hole, it's in a hole. If it's in a, you know, a divot, it's in a divot. I think that would be a fair way to do it and still keep the integrity of the game.
Andy North with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Andy, you look at the past two PGA championships for Scotty. He has to deal with the mud balls, which everyone had to deal with for the bulk of the first two rounds. And then the year before, he gets arrested. And I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Scotty Scheffler might be the only player on the planet who can get arrested on a Friday and still find a way to be top 10 in said golf tournament that he was arrested at midway through. What do you see in terms of the ability to overcome adversity when you see Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah, he's absolutely amazing. That he's, you know, he's one of those guys that is so even keeled. He doesn't get too excited about anything. You know, even when he's doing great, you don't see a ton of emotion out of him. So he's just one of those special guys. I mean, he's the closest thing we've had to Tiger in the last 20 years. And he strikes the ball really well. I mean, last week was a perfect example. He didn't have anything the first 2 days. I mean, he just kept grinding and grinding and hitting a lot of wild shots and trying to figure out a way to get it done. And he found something the last three or four holes, and he played those tough holes really well. And then on Saturday, he came out and played great the whole day, and it was vintage Scotty. Then he's got the lead on Sunday in the first nine holes. He didn't hit a good shot. He was hit it left literally every single time. And then when he needed to, once he got tied, when he needed to, he figured it out again, and he was great on the back nine when he needed it. So, I mean, he's a special dude, and he can win with his average stuff.
And it's because he can do that with his average stuff that makes now the next two events even more interesting, because he could close out his career Grand Slam this year. I mean, now the odds are stacked against him, I'm sure. But at this point, I wouldn't put anything past him, would you?
No, not at all. I think Oakmont sets up just absolutely beautifully for him. It's a really hard golf course. That putting the ball in the fairway and keeping it on the greens is really important. Can he do that if he plays at his best? I think he'll be the overwhelming favorite. It's a golf course that fits Rory's game, but Rory has not been driving the ball in the fairway. And I mean, he had less than half the fairways last week at the PGA. If he does that at Oakmont, it'll be a long, long week because the rough there is going to be vintage U.S. Open rough. It is going to be thick. It's going to be long. And if you're in the rough, you've got no chance.
Andy North with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. You know, you bring up Rory there and the driving, and one of the big stories from the week was both him and Scotty. They were both found to have non-conforming drivers. Now, this is nothing new. It's happened a number of times. I think the stigma surrounding this is probably a little bit bigger of a – it sounds bigger than it really is, but how much do you think that toyed with Rory having to go to a different driver for when he was playing his rounds?
I don't think anything. You know, these guys all carry four or five different heads, backup heads. If you can keep the shafts is a key part of that. And, you know, you can just snap heads on these shafts in today's world. And, you know, this testing goes on literally every term of the year. The players are asking for it because they want to make sure their equipment's conforming. And what happens with the drivers, there's this core reading. And once it gets over a certain amount, they're deemed not to be legal. And there's some of the companies that build theirs right up against that standard. And then as the players play it, it goes past that standard. It creeps above that. So if you've got a driver you like that you've used for a bunch of years and you hit it really well, it's probably illegal because it's probably it's probably moved. But, you know, they test probably a third of the field every week. Particularly at majors, and you know this stuff happens, and it's you know no one even knew Scotty that it happened to Scotty until he said so after the week was up. It's not that big a deal anymore for these guys. They change clubs so frequently it doesn't really matter.
And to that point, Lucas Glover made a comment this week regarding the driver testing that a lot of the players carry two drivers in their bag early in the week, so if they get their name pulled, they give them the backup to test. Have you heard that before?
Well, I would suspect, you know, if they ask you for your gamer, I would think the players would give them their gamer. if you're going back and forth between two of them, then I don't think it's a problem. But I'm guessing if the guys test because they don't want. I mean, you get through three rounds and. You know, somebody says, oh, yeah, he tested this other driver. He didn't test this one. They go test it, and it's illegal. You're done. They don't want to take that chance.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Andy North with us here for a couple more minutes on the CDGA Golf Show. So outside of Scotty, what was your biggest takeaway from this PGA Championship in terms of the rest of the field?
I think it was interesting how some of the guys played those last three holes that, you know, they're difficult, you know, 530-yard par 5, par 4, you know, 230-yard par 3, and then 490 yards with a creek going up. But, you know, those are pretty hard finishing holes. But Scotty played them great. He played them unbelievably all week long. And that stretch on Saturday, 14 through 18, that he played 5 under, he went from 2 behind to 3 ahead. Most of the guys played those holes over par, and he played them under par. Rom played them a bunch over. You know, pretty much everyone of the contenders messed up coming in on those holes, and Scotty didn't.
And also, Andy, I wanted to ask you, you know, LIV had like 16 guys, 8 made the cut, 5 finished 37th or worse. And we watched John Rom, we watched Bryson, you know, make a push. But at the end of the day, they faded away. Do you feel that the competitive model, as time goes on, is actually hurting a guy like Bryson, Joaquin, and Rom?
You know, I think you could argue that. I think these guys are great enough players that, you know, it probably has some effect that you get used to playing 3 days. I mean, I know senior tour golf where you played 3 days normally, and then you got to a major, it was 4 days. It was more taxing mentally, physically. It might have some effect on them, but these guys are great at what they do. And, you know, I think that the golf course just got them basically at the end.
Well, that's good insight. And one other question I had for you. On Thursday and Friday, the golf course was unbelievably wet. But when the ball would hit the green because of the sub air, it sounded like it was hitting concrete.
Yeah.
As a player, that's got to be the hardest combination in sports.
It really is, especially if the fringes and stuff are soft. So, you know, there are a lot of holes there. When the greens get firm, you really want to bounce it, you know, just short of the green even. You couldn't do that. But the golf course really handled the water. Unbelievable. I mean, it was, they had 5 inches of rain from Saturday to Tuesday. I walked in the rain, the golf course on Monday, and it was, every step you took, water sprayed. It was amazing. It was in as good a shape as it was Thursday through Sunday. There are a lot of places that, you know, it had been a mud hole, but it held up really, really well. And you kind of got through the mud balls on the first day and everything was fine. And, you know, everybody makes too much out of most of this stuff. I mean, yes, it's hard to play with mud balls, but, you know, there are types of shots you can try to play. I mean, if you got mud on the ball, my theory was I wanted to hit as low as I possibly could. So if it went offline, it was on the ground sooner than just launching it way up in the air. But the way guys play today, they launch it up in the air. They don't play it down. And I think that affects it more. But, you know, it's part of the game. It happens to everybody. And it's unfortunate that it can change a championship.
Andy, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. Always enjoy watching you on all the PGA coverage, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it, and have a great day. Get out there and play. It's beautiful.
Oh, we are.
Yes, it is.
Thanks, Andy.
I'm sure you are. Okay. See ya.
Be well.
Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion and ESPN golf analyst with us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. I do want to have a bigger conversation, too, on the drivers. We'll do that
Definitely.
At 10 o'clock. And maybe like the stigma that sort of surrounds it. But when we come back, let's dive into what's taking place down in Texas. The Charles Schwab Challenge going on right now. We'll give you the leaderboard and what we're seeing. And Scotty is playing in this event, but he's not playing great. We'll tell you everything that's going on with his game and more coming up next. The segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan, always talking golf with you on Saturdays here, 9 to 11 a.m. on ESPN Chicago. Charles Schwab taking place down in Fort Worth as your co-leaders right now at 11 under, Ben Griffin and Matty Schmid.
Mm-hmm.
How about the local guy, too? Doug Gim, currently tied for 7th right now at 6 under, so he's 5 strokes off the lead. He's right on the tail of Akshay Bhatia. And Ricky Fowler in that grouping as well, tied for 7th. J.J. Spawn, Tommy Fleetwood, also tied for 7th at 6 under. But Doug Gim, the guy is a grinder. It feels like he plays in every single event, every single week. The only reason I know that is because we try to get him on the show, and he's always playing golf.
Yeah,
so we can't get him on the show.
Yeah, and he's always playing golf, and he's usually making the cut, too.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know who's also having a not a bad tournament? It's local Nick Hardy.
Good to see. Yeah, Nick tied for 13th right now. He's had his struggles over the last year and a half or so. Yeah. I don't want to say we put the curse on him, but we may have.
We may have. But the guy's got a 10:55 tee time. That's probably the latest tee time he's had on a Saturday all season.
Yeah.
Which is good to see.
Good to see him getting back into the swing of things because he had a lot of things going well for him. Remember, he won the Zurich Classic a couple of years ago. And now all of a sudden, his career's taken a little bit of... He's 205th in FedEx Cup points. And it would be really, really cool to see him kind of revitalize his career in this, finishing top 20 or even top 10 at an event like this that where Scotty Scheffler's in the field. I mean, the leaderboard may not look spectacular, but that doesn't mean these guys aren't in the field.
Oh,
like, Ricky's in the field. Spieth's in the field. Hideki Matsuyama's in the field. Scotty, who I mentioned, is in the field. Tommy Fleetwood's in the field. There are quality players in this tournament right now. They're just not at the top of the leaderboard at the moment.
No doubt. And I think, you know, having guys like Doug and, you know, our local guys.
Nick Hardy.
I'm sorry. I've drawn a blank there. But Nick, these guys are playing a quality golf course. Colonial is like hitting it down a hallway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're winning and playing well there, you can just about play well anywhere because it is a very, very demanding and a shot maker's golf course for sure. But the story of interest for me this weekend is John Pach. Not John Pach himself. It's caddy. Do you know what his caddy did?
What's that?
His caddy used to be a financial guy for Charles Schwab.
Oh, yeah.
He walked away from a big-time corporate job at Charles Schwab. And he might get his first PGA Tour victory as a caddy at the Charles Schwab.
Everything is cyclical in life.
I know. So I'm rooting for John Pach just because of that little innuendo. But it should be a good event. And having the chance to play Colonial a few times and be down there for their event a few times, it's a wonderful, wonderful club and a very historic one in the Fort Worth area. And if you ever have a chance to play it, please do. It's a great one.
Did you see this story too? Michael Kim, who is playing in the Charles Schwab, he went out on Thursday, and you mentioned John Pach with a 63. Michael Kim also fired a 63 on Thursday as well, and he said that round of his was fueled by his frustration from the New York Knicks collapse from the night before.
Now, that's a fan.
And that was one of the all-time, it was John Pach. He is the big Knicks fan. And he went out and fired that 63 because of the Knicks loss from the night before. That right there, it's funny, too, because we were talking a little bit earlier in the week about, like, some of the greatest collapses in sports. And a lot of them are golf.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is no one to blame but yourself. Whereas team, there can be a moment here, there. You can at least explain some of those away. Golf, it's you in the course.
Right.
And when you've, I mean, we talked about Greg Norman. We talked a little bit about Jordan Spieth, all that stuff. So it's something. But, yeah, John Pach, inspired by the New York Knicks collapse, and he's hoping to not have one himself as he is currently sitting third in the standings right now. All right, when we come back, we'll discuss the drivers. And is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal, the way that the PGA Tour is testing? That's coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.